tonight, let's stand together and sing. There is a fountain filled with blood. 336.
There is a fountain filled with blood.
Since you were young. Anybody singing this song for a long time? Halfway through, I'm going to drop out the instruments and we're going to sing it and lift up our voices. Don't back off, okay? Just lift up the roof. On the last verse now.
When this torment speaks every tongue,
something when you'll have the voice that maybe you always wanted to have, and maybe the voice you think you have but you don't realize you don't have, and the vocabulary, not this lisping, stammering tongue, but one that has perfect knowledge, and then the experience of that face-to-face encounter. Lift up your voice and sing His power to save. What a thought. What a great start to the service. Man, I'm excited for what's coming tonight, what we've experienced already. I've asked Brother Jim Westmoreland if he'll come and open us in prayer. And to make briefly the announcement that I tried to make to you this morning about this Friday night, the dinner for the Good News Gospel, the jail ministry. If you'll make that announcement so folks know exactly what they need to know about that, Brother Jim, and then open us in prayer, please. Thank you, sir.
Okay, we're out of prison, so we're here tonight. Okay, that's how you introduced it, right? Well, we'd like to invite you to the banquet. It's next Friday night at 6:30. Hopefully we'll have enough to take the bus from here, the small bus, from here to it's in Sanford on highway 46. Or 46 is the road that the church is on. It's Westview Baptist Church, and from 6:30 till about 7:30. So if you would, let Joanne and I know tonight if you're going to go, because we want to know how much to tell Chick-fil-A to bring, okay? That's just part of the banquet, okay? But we're going to have some testimonies from the inmates, and Lewis and Kathleen Robles will be doing the music tonight at the banquet. So
Amen.
So praise the Lord. It's really, the church really backs us up on this. I know we're in a different county, but the door is open for the gospel in Seminole County, and the Lord has provided us with a sheriff who will let us preach the gospel and doesn't give us any hard time, okay?
Amen.
So please let us know if you're going to go, and we need to know, first of all, for the number of people that will be there, and also if you want to ride the bus, okay? And let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for a church that believes the Bible and praises the Lord. If you would, join me in prayer. Father, I thank you again for this church. Lord, what a blessing it is to be among those who love the Lord Jesus and are called according to his purpose. We thank you for all the ministries here, Lord. We're just one of them, but Lord, we thank you for the prisoners that have been saved and baptized, and Lord, the ones that have gone on to preach the gospel. We ask you, Lord, to continue to keep the door open, Lord, even as we change sheriffs, Lord, this coming year. We ask you, Father, to anoint the services tonight, our singing, our praises, and our worship, and Pastor, as he brings the message, we ask you, Lord, to unite our hearts in the Lord, and Father, please engraft the word of God into our hearts that we might be good servants of the Most High God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let me see.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid rock, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What height of love, what depth of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final death, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Thank you.
You know, as Pastor was talking about Jesus coming back and the love that he showed to the disciples, the love he showed to Thomas, the kindness that he showed to Thomas, he could have really scalped him, couldn't he have? You know, oh, you have little faith, you know, and all that. He could have really hammered it. I wonder how many times he could have hammered you and me. But in kindness, he comforts us. Page 386. The Comforter has come. Let's stand together as we sing it. 386. Anybody? There's a few. There's a few. It's a great song. On the second now.
The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last. And marks the dreadful veil. And fury of the blast. And o'er the golden hill. The day events pass. The comforter has come.
Into the next song, okay? Here we go on the last verse.
Oh, the love divine, how shall this love of mine to one immortal spell the hands of grace divine, and I, a child of hell, should live in heaven's shine.
Because I was thinking about the song we're going to sing along with that song. That Comforter has come. That's an old song. That's an old song. A song about the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit song right there. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. The song the choir sang, Heavenly Love. It's just the message of the Word of God. Heavenly Love. I remember when it was brand new. That song was brand new. And I looked. I'm always interested in copyrights and who wrote it and so forth like that. And I distinctly remember Heavenly Love. Whenever I hear the song, I am riding with my friend, Junior Hudson. We're riding along on a little, they called it the 9-foot road, because that's how wide it was. Now, you had room on the side where you could get off the pavement, but the pavement was 9 feet wide. And so whenever cars met, you just went off to your side and they went off to their side. That's the West Virginia way. And we went to a little country church. The only time I've ever been in a church, the only time to this day I've ever been in the church. But as a kid about 14 years old, I may have been 15, probably 14 at that time, they'd asked me to come preach on a Sunday night. And, of course, I didn't have a driver's license, and so Junior had his driver's license, and he had a car. He was older, and he drove, and he sang, and I preached. And I remember for the first time that night, I heard that song. First time I'd ever heard it, Heavenly Love. And he sang it that night. And you know Junior, I hope you pray for him all the time, was in the church, Mark pastored there in West Virginia. And a friend of many, 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 many years. And it's good memories as I sat there and listened to that. Good memories come back. God is so good. God is so good. Brother Ravensway, Van Ravensway, tell the people what you told me.
We just came back from Camp the Treatment Centers of America. All your prayers are working because this cancer count went from 2,200 down to the 500s.
Amen.
And that's just an absolutely amazing thing. After running all over the country, going to Atlanta, you know, chasing here, there, everywhere. And I believe God's had a hand in that.
Amen.
So we'll sing it. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good.
God's been good to you.
Amen. How many of you have had a prayer answered? Ever in your life you've had a prayer answered? I got up this morning and I've been praying about something for a good long while. Some number of years ago, somebody gave me a really nice pen. Now, they shouldn't have done that because I'm not good with things like that because I lose things. And it bugs me. Bugs me whenever I lose something and somebody says to me, where was the last place you saw it? Oh, okay. But I got up today, and I got this suit out of the closet, and I put it on, and I started to put something on the inside coat pocket, and there it was. I almost cried, and I don't remember it being there. I don't remember last seeing it there, but what a good thing it was. This answer to prayer right here. God does answer prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good. How many of you believe he's coming back one of these days? Yeah, it could be today. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good. And he will be throughout eternity. He will be. Do we have anyone visiting with us tonight that will introduce yourself? Any visitors, introduce yourself tonight. You folks visiting tonight? Where are you from? Well, wonderful. I'm from Deltona. Good to have you. Good to have you. I live just off the north end of Providence. That's where I live, just off the north end of Providence. And good to have you tonight. Anyone else? Anyone else visiting? Yes, ma'am, right here. Okay, wonderful. Thank you for coming and seeing us tonight. We're delighted to have you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone in the choir visiting? Heidi? Holly, I'm sorry. She's not a visitor. She looks like old home folks. Okay, but good to have you. Good to see you. Yeah, I looked for you this morning. And then I saw you come in tonight, and I said, okay, I'll check her off. Okay, all right, very good, very good. All right, the instruments will play, the choir will come down. I want you to greet those around you. Welcome each other to the service tonight. Meet a visitor if you can. Thank you so much, and I hope you'll ushers come forward if you will, and well, you can stand up here a little while. We'll make some announcements and all those kinds of things. Pray for Jim Crawford, having heart surgery in the morning. Many of us committed to pray for him, so let's pray for Jim in the morning, and pray for Martha Quayle. Martha's having a very, very difficult time. And I got to get some things straightened out before they do surgery. So just be much in prayer for Martha. She's having a very difficult time. She is, well, Jim will be down at Central Florida Regional, and that's where Martha is. And so be much in prayer for those. I have here a couple of cards that I must share with you. This is from Vi Guyette's daughter. And Sandy Ellis, there's a card here somewhere if I can figure out how to get it open because it looks the same on both sides. This is from Martha. This first one's from Martha Quayle. Thanks for all the prayers and visits and flowers. I've been moved out of ICU to the chemo floor at Central Florida and starting my first chemo today. This was the end of the month, 31st. And leave it all up to God. They're still narrowing down the primary source of my cancer and working on my breathing. And she's continuing to have this fluid build up. And so be much in prayer for her. Miss you all. Can't wait to get back in church again. Of course, Fred's in Saudi Arabia. And that's where he works. And they will not let him leave. They just absolutely will not let him leave. And until the end of this month. And so be much in prayer for that entire situation, if you will. And this is from Sandy Ellis, Vi Guyette's daughter. Thanks for all the beautiful, thank you for the beautiful basket of flowers sent for Mom's funeral, her memorial service. She loved the church, and she did love the church. The entire music program, she enjoyed coming to hear the gospel preached each Sunday. Missed it on the weeks and months she had to miss. And she loved all who made the effort to shake her hand and talk to her. It made her day. Please use this check, and the check is enclosed, a very generous check for something needed in her memory. And she thanks others for coming, and of course, for, let's see, Dave Weiss and Kenny Gogan had that service. And Mark and I were there and listened to them, and they did a good job. They did a good job there at Horizon Bay. And yesterday after the service here, Gary Moak's brother-in-law came by and said, "Here," he said, I want to give something to the church." I said, "You don't know the church anything." He said, "No, I know that." He said, "I know that. I just want to give a gift to the church." So I don't know what's in it, but I got him an envelope, and he put an offering for the church in there. So I'm going to put these in tonight. And we thank the Lord for that, for people to care about it and do things like that. Father, I thank you now for every blessing. I thank you, Father, for being so good to us. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter you promised to send, who has indeed come. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I thank you for sensing your presence here tonight. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless this offering as we give it. And bless us, Father, with wisdom as we use it. In Jesus' name, amen. Showers of blessing. Oh, mercy drops are falling, but we pray for the showers. I'm going to ask the ushers, if they will, to help me just a moment here. And let's give out these magazines. I don't know where they are, but I know they're there somewhere. And so let's get them. And these are the God Bless America magazines, God Bless America Crusade magazine. And Brother Byron Fox is the editor of this and publisher. And some of you know we did this last year. The magazine was published last year in the months leading up to 9/11. Last year, the weeks leading up to 9/11 led up to the crusade in Richmond, Virginia. The year before that, it was in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then this year, we're not doing a crusade for multiple nights. But we're doing a rally in Charleston, West Virginia. Now, a few years ago in Charleston, West Virginia, if you'd like one of the magazines, we'll just take them as they come by. I think there's enough for everyone here tonight if you'd like to have one. But they had like 8,000 people and a 600-voice choir, and it was just absolutely astounding what happened. And that was on 9/11. Sunday was on 9/11. And this year, again, in 16, Sunday is on 9/11. And so we're going back to that same city. And many, of course, of the same churches are cooperating. I think there's about 45 churches now that are cooperating in the meeting. And it's just an amazing thing to see. I don't know what's going on there in my home state, but there's some good things happening there. And I appreciate it so very, very much. So pray much about that. And there's word about that, a lot about it, asking for prayers in this and everything. And I'll remember to give magazines out again next Sunday morning. And we'll try to do that and make them available to you. Okay? All right. Has anyone been overlooked? Raise your hand. They'll get to you. Okay. Kenny's working his way up there. And that'll be fine. Brother Steve was out last Sunday night, which was a good idea to be there at the hospital with your wife when she was having surgery. That was a good idea. But tonight he's going to sing the song he planned to sing last Sunday night. Vicki's doing well. She's home, recovering well. Very good. Are you being a good nurse to her? No? Okay. Well, now let me talk to you about that just a little bit. Okay. But you'll enjoy. Over here, Kenny, if you will. Sandra, his mother's right over here. I'd like to get this taken care of so we can focus on Steve's song, Love Grew Where the Blood Fell. What a wonderful, wonderful song. All right, Steve, come sing for us. Saved by Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on a man with think, what tragedy. But what this world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree, it would break the chains of sin and set man free. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope sprang up for men in misery. Covers me. Thorns of violence, thorns of hate were growing wildly, and the sorrow they had caused was plain to see. But when his blood came streaming down on the cross of Calvary, it started blossoms of forgiveness growing free. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope sprang up for men in misery. Sin died where the blood fell. I'm so glad his precious blood has covered me. Amen. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Man, I don't know why. People just don't know what they miss whenever they're not here on Sunday night. I tell you right now. It's a great place to be. Open your Bible somehow to Luke chapter 22. Somehow I can't get away from the thing that we've been through and the theme of the last few weeks as we approach the cross and the resurrection. And so I'm going back today. It was a week later, and now I'm going back to a few hours before the crucifixion in Luke chapter 22. There's a phrase I'm going to call your attention to as we look at a very, really well-known incident that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to pick it up after Judas has come and betrayed the Lord with a kiss. And in verse 50, Luke 22, "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest." Now, in the book of John, chapter 18, verse 10, we learn that that was Peter did that. "And cut off his right ear." Now, that's a pretty serious thing. "And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. Suffer ye thus far." Let me put it like this. Wait a minute. Let me fix that. Wait a minute. Let me fix that. "And he touched his ear and healed him." How could that guy ever get away from that? How could he ever forget that? "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come unto him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour." That's the phrase I want to focus on tonight. This is your hour. This is your hour. And the power of darkness. Passover is ended. They've left the upper room. Judas has cut the deal and gotten paid and come to the garden to betray the Lord. And he has kissed the Lord and identified him in that dark area of the garden as the one whom they should arrest. Jesus has prayed. The disciples have slept rather than watching with him in prayer. And I want you to see the first thing that happens here is what Jesus has to do for a lot of us a lot of times. Jesus rescues Peter. Now you can be sure, whenever he cut off the high priest, the servant of the high priest, Malchus, when he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, he wasn't aiming for his ear. And when he cut off his ear, you can be sure that the soldiers who were there were ready to cut off his head. And had Jesus not intervened, Jesus would not have been the first one to go to trial that night, nor the first one killed. Peter would have been. But Jesus took up for him and rescued him. And stepped in and said, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'll fix that. And he healed the man on the spot. He healed him. Now that's an amazing thing. You can believe that was a serious situation. But what he did was he removed the evidence of Peter's stupidity. And appropriately dealt with Peter about that. He was kind to the man, but he was very kind to Peter. What a wonderful Lord we have. Then Jesus, after he rescues Peter, he rebukes the wickedness of those who came to him there. Now, I want you to notice who came. I want you to notice the ones he addresses here. he addresses. Of course, the servant of the high priest was there. Now, the high priest is not going to come do this kind of work. But the servant of the high priest was there. And then there were the chief priests. They were there. Elders of the people were there. And the captains of the temple were there. Now, they did have religious police. They had religious enforcers of their law. And it's very obvious that the people who came to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus Christ were not Romans. The ones who came to arrest him were Jews. And so they have come to this place. And whenever he addresses them, he addresses their cowardice. How cowardly they come to him. They come to him, many of them come. They come armed. Now, they were not armed with spears and shields. They were not armed like Romans. They were armed with swords and staves. So they had knives and sticks. They didn't have the weapons of the Romans. The Romans would not allow them to have those same weapons. But they were the enforcers of religious law. And so when they come as a multitude against one. He says, come you out as against a thief with swords and staves? They come armed against one who was unarmed. Now, that's perfectly normal. I understand that. But watch this also. They come under cover of darkness. Isn't that just like the world? They come under cover of darkness. Their deed was evil, and it is true that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And though it was a religious act and done under religious law and done religious with religious authority, they come under cover of darkness. It is interesting that those in spiritual darkness come under the cover of physical darkness to arrest the light of the world. This perhaps was the dead of night morally on this earth. And then Jesus reveals their power. And this is the focus of where the message is tonight. Whenever they have come, these religious leaders have come. They have come in the darkness. He says to them, this is your hour. This is your hour. And the power of darkness. You see, he identifies the source of their power. The source of their power is the power of the darkness. Jesus spake often about being cast into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whenever Jesus was crucified and he cried, it is finished. Veil the temple rent in twain, and darkness, darkness was upon the face of the earth. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 12, it speaks of the work of darkness. And it speaks throughout the Word of God of the conflict between light and darkness. Ye are children of the light. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Now, I know that the night cometh when no man can work. But there's coming a time whenever the darkness that is in this world is going to be over and we're going to move into the light. Now, whenever we read the paper, we see the reports on television, and we hear all the social media that's out there now, and all the things that are being said, and everything that's going on here in our state. And John Cordes showed me something that I'd read earlier, that our governor, Rick Scott, did sign the Ministerial Protection Act that allows us to say no. And allows us to determine who we will marry and who we will not marry in this state. And allows this church to make that decision. And so that's a good thing. Now I want you to know that's being contested in other states. Why would a city, Charlotte, North Carolina, pass a law? Why would they have to even be dealing with this situation? But they pass a law in their city, and they can say whatever they want to. It boils down to this. If I, today, have feminine feelings, and I kind of, you know, I'm kind of weepy today and tender and so forth, and I kind of feel like a woman, so I'm going to go to the ladies' restroom. And they pass a law that says that's okay. Now, the state legislature overrides that law. And they said, you can't have that rule in your city. We have a superior rule in the state. And they pass a law, which is not exactly the way I would have worded it, but it's okay. It's okay. It says you can't do that. Now, the professional ball team says, well, if you're going to do that, we're going to leave your city. We're going to move out. We're going to go somewhere else. Businesses say, we're going to move out of North Carolina. We don't want to do business with North Carolina. And the governor of California says, I forbid our California employees to do any kind of training or retreat or anything like that in the state of North Carolina. Can you imagine anybody being forbidden to go to Asheville in the color season in October? Where does this come from? I talked to you Thursday night, and I read the article, credible article from Rasmussen Polls, from them, that now Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Miami, and other cities are exploring the concept of paying those who are likely to commit murder, that they're exploring the idea of paying them $1,000 a month not to kill someone with a gun. Now, the nation, in their poll nationally, 85% of the people of this nation are against that. But isn't it not mind-boggling that 15% are for it? Where are these people? Let me get somewhere else. That's dangerous. What do you say to that? This is their hour. And the power of darkness. In the Garden of Gethsemane, could Jesus not have spoken the word and slain them right there? Well, certainly he could. Could he do it now? Certainly. Certainly he could do that now. But this is their hour. This is their hour. It seems to me the progression that we just studied in Founders Conference, in Romans chapter 1, that refusing to retain the knowledge of God in their mind, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Now, I'm not saying they're not smart. I'm not saying they're not intelligent. I'm just saying their mind is warped. Now, they say the same thing about us. I understand that. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. But this is their hour. This is their hour. So don't be frustrated by that. Peter pulled out a sword. Somehow, he had snuck a concealed weapon in there. And whenever that took place, he brought it out. He brought it out and took a swing at the guy he thought was the leader of the whole bunch. And Jesus said, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not the way we're doing it. This is their hour. This is their hour. It frightens me to think in this country that this is their hour. It frightens me to think that in this world, as far as ISIS is concerned, this is their hour. And the power of darkness. It frightens me, not for me. I'm concerned for my kids. But it frightens me for my grandkids. And my great-grandkids now. But this is their hour. This is their hour. Does that mean Jesus doesn't have anyone? No, he still has disciples there. But sadly to speak, whenever... Let's talk about Peter in this situation just a little bit. I want you to look at him just a little bit. Here's Peter. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get somebody. I may go down, but I'm going to take somebody with me. He didn't have a chance. He knew he didn't have a chance. But he was going to strike out anyhow. Now, I want you to remember where Peter had been just before this. You know, we might think, wow, man, Peter, ready? Let me tell you, he could take them all on, man. He didn't care. He didn't care if he died. He didn't care. And that's good, and that's fine, and I'm for that courage. I'm for that courage. But where had he been just before that? He had been asleep when Jesus had asked him to pray. Whenever people have not done what Jesus asked them to do, when they have not done what Jesus asked them to do, they tend to act very brave in a carnal way. I want you to know that the Lord did have everything under control. He could have called 10,000 angels. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden as he prayed. And, of course, the words of the song give us truth, but not exactly the way it is, and we don't expect that because it's concise telling of the story. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He didn't. He could do that now, but he hasn't. He hasn't, because this is their hour. This is their hour. And as he spent his time proving his worthiness to be the sacrifice, he is allowing them to prove their worthiness of the judgment that's going to be poured out upon them. So Peter goes to sleep. After he goes to sleep, whenever Jesus has asked him to watch and pray, he goes to sleep. Boy, he's awake now, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm awake now. I'm going to take it all on. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. As I said this morning, be sure your brain's running. And be sure your spirit is right with God. I want you to see not only the source of their power, but I want you to see the season of their power. He says, this is your hour. Whenever he says that, he is specifying a season of time. He's not talking about 60 minutes. We talk about an hour of revival. This is the hour we need prayer. This is the hour we need revival. It means the season of time. We understand that without any problem whatsoever. We understand that. He said, this is your hour. This is your hour. So we need to understand that though this is their hour, we still have our responsibilities in their hour. Just because it's their hour doesn't mean we give in and quit and say, well, it's their hour. There's nothing we can do. Oh, no. We've been given many things to do in this hour. In their hour, in their season, in their time, we've been given many things to do. In the hours of corruption on all levels of society, in the hours of corruption, we've been called upon to live with integrity. In an hour of sin and shame, we've been called on to live with character. And may I say to you, character is not what we say. Character is how we act. Character has to do with our living. Now, I think we ought to talk right. We ought to say the right things. But character has to do with our living, the way we conduct ourselves. In this hour of wickedness, we've been called upon to live in holiness. In this hour of denying God, denying the Word of God, we've been called upon to live in His book and live by His book. And in this power of depending on everything of this life, from money to popularity to power, we've been called upon to live by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's their hour, but it's our responsibility to live according to God's Word. We've been called to live God's will for our lives. In this day of turning from God, in this day of everything else going on in the world, from March Madness to opening night of football, baseball, whatever, season, and this time, it's good to see you folks in church. And don't get proud about that. Just be humble about that. Thank God. It may be their hour, but we can still do everything that God has for us to do. With God's power and by His Holy Spirit, we can do what God has for us to do. And though the world may be running downhill with the wheels off, heading for the crash that's coming, we can still be steady for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Unintimidated, unturned from the truth that God reveals to us. And here, Jesus reminds us of truth, that it's only an hour. There is only an hour, but ours is eternity. Amen. Now, it was their hour at that time, but I'm going to tell you what. 3 days later, everything changed. Everything changed 3 days later. It was their hour that night. They took him back to Caiaphas' house. And there in a religious court, that the religious police took him to before the Sanhedrin. They tried him, calling in hired false witnesses. And in a mock trial, condemned him. Took him to Pilate for the execution that they wanted. And it was their hour. They beat him, mocked him, scourged him. All of those things are true that happened to him. They crucified him. They put him in a tomb. It was their hour. They may have gone back into the temple in the celebration of Passover and said, yes, we got that taken care of. We got the Jesus problem out of here. And you know, there are people now who want to get rid of the Jesus problem in this country. They'll tolerate God, but they're not going to tolerate Jesus. And He is God. But 3 days later, that all changed. There's certain things that got out of their control. And it was His hour. And He rose triumphantly. And I'm going to tell you, one of these days, He's coming back triumphantly.
Amen.
So until that time, may I just encourage you not to get frustrated in their hour. It's hard not to. It's hard not to get frustrated. It's hard not just, you know, to want to throw a shoe at the TV or something, you know. I don't know. You want it. It's just, I guess, natural. But we cannot respond their way in their hour. We cannot do that. This is their hour and the power of darkness. And we're living in that time. Oh, I remember. I remember in the 50s. I remember in the 50s when Elvis came on the scene. I remember that. Man, my folks thought the world is over. Jesus is going to have to come. And then in the 60s, here came the Beatles. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. We thought it was bad. Now, it maybe can get worse. I don't know. I guess it can. But I'm going to tell you what my folks got upset about with Elvis. It's about, I don't know, exponentially worse now. Man, who could? If somebody had told them, at that time, that Jesus was not coming till well into the 2000s. They said, no, we're never going to make it to 2000. I'll tell you that right now. We're never going to make it to the year 2000. I didn't think we would. How many of you didn't think we would? Yeah, I didn't think we would. I didn't think we'd make it there. I really didn't. But here we are. Here we are. And it's their hour. But it's our opportunity. And the darker, if I can use this term, the darker the darkness, the brighter the light. After Becky and I had been married just a short time, had Alan been born when we went to the Luray Caverns? Yeah. And we went and took a vacation and did we leave Alan with my folks? Yeah. And we went and had a few days vacation. We went to Luray Caverns. It's the only time I've ever been in any place like that. So I remember it very distinctly. They're in the Shenandoah Valley, Virginia. And we went in, paid our fare, and went in, walked down all these things. And they, you know, tell all about these millions and millions of years and all this stuff, you know, and they go on like this. But you got way down in there, and they turn the lights out. Now, I've never experienced darkness like that. I've never experienced darkness, that kind of darkness, with absolutely no light. Absolute darkness. And then the guide lit a match. He lit a match, and you could see everybody in our group. Now, in absolute moral darkness, in absolute moral darkness, everybody can do their own thing without any condemnation because of observation. But when a little light comes on the scene, moral darkness doesn't like that. They want the absolute darkness. So, let's be witnesses and let's be testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's hold forth the word of life, as the word of God tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for light. And I thank you for the truth. And I thank you for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, in this dark hour in which we live, may we be lights in the darkness. And Lord, somehow I believe that you still have those who do not really love the darkness. They're looking for light. They're looking for truth. And Father, I pray we'll have the opportunity and take the opportunity to tell them of the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If there's anyone here tonight, God's spoken to your heart about your dedication to the Lord, or if you perhaps are not saved, you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you have any question about that, we're going to have the instruments play a verse of "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." And if you need to come speak with the Lord a little while, if you need to come talk with Him, or if you need to come make sure you're about your salvation, we invite you to come right now as the instruments play. Well, amen. Thank you so very much, ladies. Thank you so much. Live for the Lord this week. Be the light. God bless you. You're dismissed.